I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. We become a part of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, tonight's program will be jam-packed with information, probably centering around three major topics. One will be about the monatomic Andara crystals, and that will be bridging science, metaphysics, and healing. And we'll also be talking about the flashing universe as it relates to time. And every so often, I like to present on this program the ultimate truths of reality. And those are quite a fascinating list of concepts. And I like to bring them up every so often because they're very difficult to find. And but before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om
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 Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Shanti.
course, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, passed on in 2002. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to take this opportunity now to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience, and especially for those people that do take the time to email me occasionally with respect to their wishes towards program content. And also, I'm available to answer questions about any topics that I bring up on this program. And nothing makes my day more than to hear about your successes utilizing ideas, concepts, or techniques that you have heard on this program. And you can email me at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo at yahoo.ca. I'd like to take this opportunity now to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And in fact, I was listening to a channeling from the Pleiadians through Barbara Marciniak earlier this evening, and she had mentioned that time's approaching when people will start turning away from the medical establishment and big pharma. It'll be looked back upon as a travesty. At any rate, I'd like to move on to tonight's topics, which are quite positive in nature. And I guess I got a new family member this week because I received a new Andara crystal myself. I'm a big proponent of the Andara crystals. And I've had several emails from ET Yoga listeners that have thanked me for recommending the Andaras. They're very special. And I'm going to share with you tonight some information that kind of, well, it really does tie together the whole concepts of bridging science, metaphysics, and healing. So the science of monatomic Andara crystal, well, the goal of all scientific and metaphysical endeavors is to shed light on the unknown. And what was once thought to be metaphysical magic is now commonplace. We live in a world that's rapidly changing. New discoveries seem to happen on a daily basis. And what was believed to be immutable scientific fact has been turned on its head. And so, too, has the discovery of Andara crystal expanded our knowledge of science and metaphysics. In 1995, a unique mineral deposit was discovered near one of the Earth's high-energy vortex sites in the High Sierra Mountains of Northern California. Monatomic elements of gold, silver, iridium, rhodium, chromium, platinum, and other monatomic minerals were found in this deposit. The natural mineral complex exhibits extraordinary properties that strengthen and stabilize the electromagnetic fields of the human body. Discovered within the deposit were glass-like crystals of exceptional power and beauty. Monatomic Andara crystal is a glass-like transmuted mineral complex from this naturally occurring mineral deposit high in monatomic minerals. The modalities of these crystals interact with the individual electromagnetically, restoring health and equilibrium. Classical science teaches us that the three phases of matter are gases, liquids, and solids. Current discoveries have now replaced that theory with newer plasmas, condensates, and liquid crystal states of matter. And what classical science does not teach us, because these are new discoveries, is that there is, in fact, another phase of matter called monatomic. In fact, you know, it was about, 10 years ago or so, and I did an ET Yoga show, and the title of it was, Don't Tell Anybody About Monatomics. And I've been in rooms where full of doctors and PhDs, and you mention the word monatomic, and nobody seems to know what you're talking about, which I find is really fascinating. It seems like there's been a sort of a filter or a brainwashing but put through our society where nobody wants to talk about them. In fact, Bashar had once talked about the fact that the white powder gold, which the Anunnaki were extracting from this planet and still are, was basically as a remedy to a problem they were experiencing with their lack of continuity with their longevity, which is thousands of years. And one of the ways they've repaired that is through the melting down of gold into what they call the white powder or the monatomic gold. And it's one of the things that they didn't want the humans to know about. They didn't want to know why the humans were mining the gold, because it would have a connection to their longevity as well. Well, monatomic or monatomic elements are the cutting edge of this new elemental frontier, yet its technology is ancient. The exotic properties of monatomic gold and the platinum group metals are rediscoveries of an advanced science understood and known by the ancient Mesopotamian, Egyptian, and Israelite priests. The ancient Mesopotamians called it Shemanah, and the Egyptians described it as Mufkutsi. Vowels are omitted in the hieroglyphic translation. Israelite priests called it the manna, while the Alexandrians venerated it as a gift from paradise, and later chemists such as Nicholas Flamel called it the philosopher's stone. And by the way, these are all, connected. And one of the ET Yoga programs, I actually talk about the specifics of making the Philosopher's Stone, information that was gathered from channeling from what's called cosmic awareness. And I present another program about that, because I was successful in making the Philosopher's Stone. And the monatomic Andara crystal is very special. In confirmed scientific testing of the location where they were originally found, the soil that monatomic Andara crystals were discovered in contained high levels of monatomic metallic elements. Monatomic metallic elements are single-atom metal elements that behave very differently than normal metals. First, as an example, monatomic gold is a fine white powder with very little weight, where metallic gold is very heavy. The atomic electron spin rate frequency in monatomic gold is much higher than gold. Very specialized equipment is needed to even test monatomic gold, as normal testing procedures produce inconclusive results or an unknown substance. When monatomic metal elements are heated to high temperatures, they transmute to a glass-like material, monatomic Andara crystal. Monatomic elements have the following confirmed properties: very high atomic spin rate or vibrational energy. Like light photons, they pop in and out of existence. Their vibrational energy can be passed to other objects. They are first matter elements, or what's known as prima matra, and they have been used throughout history to heal and raise and expand consciousness. A new science has emerged to deal with the quantum-like properties of high-spin state elements, superconductivity, gravity, defying materials, teleportation, space-time manipulation, multidimensional universes, and other truly astonishing discoveries have been made and are projected theoretically for the near future. Tests done in the United States and Russia confirm that monatomic metallic elements are superconductors with a null magnetic field, repelling both north and south magnetic poles. This is conducive to zero-point energy. Zero-point energy is known as an energy that fills the fabric of all space, which exists at very high frequencies. Monatomic metallic elements have the ability to tap into this limitless supply of energy in ways we're just beginning to understand. And most modern testing equipment is not sensitive enough to detect elements that are superconductive in nature. When tested, most return inconclusive results and readings. Under spectroscopic analysis, monatomic metallic elements don't even register. Monatomic metallic elements have always exhibited the strange property of not being capable of analysis. They have been classified as substances unknown by testing labs. It has also been shown that monatomic metallic elements can actually alter their physical state and shift into other dimensions. When heated under certain conditions, monatomic metallic elements, normally 35% silica, fuses into a beautiful obsidian-like material comprised of 75% silica. Scientists are unable to explain how this seemingly impossible transmutation takes place. Other tests revealed that the material could transfer its exotic properties to similar metallic or silica materials. It seems that the monatomic metallic elements have the ability to resonate similar materials to their high frequency rate, transmuting and/or transforming that material to resemble and reflect their exotic properties. Monatomic Andara crystal is the result of monatomic metallic elements that are found naturally in the ethereum powders heated to high temperatures. This process not only transmutes the ethereum powders, but refines the monatomic metallic metals and enhances their exotic properties. Testing has shown that monatomic Andara crystal resonates at the high frequency of the exotic matter they were created from. Frequency is a measurement of energy, and all substances can be measured for their wave signature or frequency. Even our thoughts are an energy that can be measured. Each organ of the body has its own frequency with a particular range suggesting good health. Bruce Tiano of Tiano Technology, an independent division of Eastern State University in Cheney, Washington, created a monitor to calculate biofrequency. He found the average frequency of a healthy human body is between 62 to 68 hertz. Dr. Robert O. Becker, author of The Body Electric, states that much about a person's health can be determined by the frequency of the person's body. If the frequency drops, the immune system is compromised. As that average of frequencies drops, we start to see disease such as colds, flu, Epstein-Barr, virus, cancer, etc. On the other hand, higher frequencies denote physical health as well as highly creative and intuitive states. In a test performed by Bruce Tiano, a subject was measured for frequency, then the subject held a cup of coffee. The frequency dropped in seconds. After drinking the coffee, the frequency of the subject dropped again. The same tests were performed again, this time using positive and negative thoughts. Within 3 seconds of thinking negative thoughts, the frequency dropped. It took 21 seconds of thinking positive thoughts to bring the frequency back up. Bruce Tiano reported in 1997 that the monatomic Andara crystal has been put on an electromagnetic spectrum analysis, and the electromagnetic patterns it emanates are not at all like regular obsidian. Bruce also tested the ethereum powder using the biofrequency monitor and found unusual properties in the trace minerals. Monatomic Andara crystal is also heliocentric, meaning that it absorbs and reflects physical light toward the center of its crystalline spiral. Without elaborating on the science of heliocentric refraction, we'll say that this causes the monatomic Andara crystal to be very healing to gaze into while holding it in natural sunlight. The metaphysics of the monatomic Andara crystal. The crystal was originally found by a half Choctaw Indian woman by the name of Nellie, a medicine woman and shaman. Being a shaman and healer, she immediately knew it had powerful healing properties. Her intuition was quickly borne out when various healings and other paranormal events started taking place. Nellie immediately sent Reverend Maya a batch of the Andara crystal, and she too had some other profound spiritual experiences with it. And this is the source translation of Akashic Record reading of Thoth by Reverend Maya Shamayam. Nartumid Tahuti says, or Thoth, that the Andara is the name we have chosen to give these crystals. They are composed primarily of prima matra, sacred matter, heated to very high temperatures. We have related to you in past transmissions that the sacred matter powders, referring to the Ethereum gold and prima matra powder, being sold as spiritual nutritional supplements coming from this sacred land, were created by an interdimensional energy implosion. Those we call the Time Walker, who worked in conjunction with the High Devas myth, logically depicted as unicorns, originally seeded the land for the formation of this prima matra. When the implosion occurred, the seed material was heated not only to very high levels, but also in a contained hyperfield, which is created by two dimensions touching. A hyperfield forms a no-time zone where linear laws of thermodynamics are warped, or in some cases do not apply at all. It was within such a hyperfield that the prima matra powders and the Andara crystals were originally created. Thoth, approximately 2,000 years after the interdimensional implosion had occurred, a Lemurian temple complex was raised on this site. The name of this temple was Andara, meaning light of beauty and perfection. The primary purpose of this complex was in working with the prima matra powders, crystals, and water of the land. And by this we mean that through their purposeful interactions with the prima matra, they effectively transmuted their crystalline DNA, therefore becoming a highly futurized form of human being, even more developed in the light matrix than the Lemurians of that age. Thus, we will cease calling these colonists Lemurians and refer to them as Andarians. Further from Thoth, now we focus on the subject of the Andara crystals. While they resemble a crystalline lava glass, and while certain similarities are present between lava glass, such as obsidian and these crystals, they are vastly different energetically. Natural lava glass could only be seen energetically as a distant cousin of Andara crystals. Lava glass is created from volcanic activity deep in the earth, with the material coming to the surface in an eruption and being exposed to specific conditions as it cools. Because these lava glass minerals come from deep inside the earth within chambers containing great heat, they do not contain various levels of prima matra. Andara crystals are even rarer than the prima matra lava glass in that they were formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. This continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and structural composition of the crystal formation. In essence, this K continuum does not align to natural polarity. Instead, it phase matches directly with the universal light matrix or the golden net of Athena. Being heliocentric, the monatomic Andara crystal tends to draw the individual's consciousness into the center of the energy spiral within when they gaze into the crystal, thus bringing that person's consciousness into more intimate contact with the Andarian consciousness. Monatomic Andara crystal also creates a double vortex. In other words, they have zero-point energy. They have superconductive monatomic energy. It's been our experience that the field associated with the monatomic Andara crystal represents a very large kinetic potential. It works quite differently than regular crystals like quartz, where one may amplify their intention through the crystal. Instead, one inserts their intention into the kinetic field associated with the monatomic Andara crystal, and the entire field moves in response to that intention. Since Andara crystals were first discovered, many people working with them have experienced major shifts in their lives. Richard B., a medical intuitive in Vancouver, Washington, writes, "The individual using the Andara crystal is able to raise their own vibration to match, receive, and mediate the higher frequencies. Meditating with monatomic Andaras using gem elixirs made from them, carrying them and working with them in other ways will help us to attune to them and increase our ability to use them as tools for healing and the science of exploring our consciousness. Many customers that have bought monatomic Andara crystals always comment on the energy field that is almost tangible, a whoosh that seems to go through them, bringing relief and joy. They feel lighter, relaxed, and surrounded by light. Physical pain is lessened or just isn't there anymore, and vitality and optimism seem abundant. Others report an expansion of consciousness or a oneness with God." The monatomic experience. Monatomic Andara crystals positively affect the energy patterns that move through the body's meridians. Andara crystals initiate electromagnetic balance and harmony via a positive charged wave that restores and cleanses. The individual is blessed with greater creativity, enhanced mind-body coordination, improved learning ability, and less stress. Calmness and serenity can also result as mental clutter gives way to a more focused thought process. The energy of monatomic Andara crystals is specific to the upper chakra centers. Thoughts become more focused and the transformational process of energy into matter is accentuated. The vibrational difference between thought and the object of the thought becomes reduced. Therefore, the time and conscious effort required to manifest intent into physical reality is also reduced. Many experience the effects of monatomic Andara crystals as dramatically expanded sensory perception and access to information beyond normal third-dimensional channels. Intuition is increased, especially experiences of telepathy, connection with other people or beings. Connections to your higher divine self are strengthened, increasing feelings of universal oneness, harmony, and joy. Monatomic Andara crystals are a soul-enhancing, high vibrational healing tool that works on all levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. The process creates a unique healing experience, individual for each person, assisting him or her in releasing unwanted energies while expanding their understanding of their true reality closer to their original divine consciousness. Monatomic Andara crystal is one of the master crystals, a healer and powerful tool for increasing awareness and vibration to access universal knowledge. Second, it's cleaning and balancing the chakras. And third, it activates one's energy channeling ability. And fourth, it accelerates the spiritual development process. And fifth, aids a person to manifest the life he or she chooses. Monatomic Andara crystals have been placed at all the sacred sites on the planet, in the temple and in the pyramid in Egypt. They have created a healing field surrounding this planet. And this is really a fascinating part, is that each Andara crystal connects and links with all the others. And the sites and information at that location is available to those who can connect with their hearts and minds. True, monatomic Andara crystals were found in high-energy vortex sites in the Shasta Mountain region of Northern California and only occurred there and in South Africa. Other locations have not been tested for the presence of monatomic materials or metals and cannot be verified at this time. And I think that's pretty good total insight on the Andara crystals. And I don't know. I just purchased, the one I purchased was $44. So they do get, they can get really pricey. I find that's a reasonable price for a legitimate one. And I think there are also other articles out there that talk about the Andar crystal is really 5D energy. And thus it really fits in perfectly with the whole ascension process. And certainly the more you can be in the, have an Andar around your auric field, the better, because it's going to raise, you know, your frequency. And my opinion is that I think each of the different ones tend to be, the different colors do tend to reflect different aspects, that some are more for healing, some more for manifesting, let's say. But I think another really cool thing about them that comes from Erica Rock is that she says that you think you're picking out your Andar crystals, but in point of fact, they pick you. I find that quite a phenomenal characteristic. I'd like to now move on to another topic because from time to time I do mention the flashing universe. And this is a concept that to me goes hand in hand with the fact of, you know, kind of understanding the universe that we live in, which is basically a holographic universe that is not only holographic but fractal. And according to Greg Braden, the universe that we live in operates much like a reality computer program, a virtual reality computer program. And that, like any computer program, it has its language of interpretation, and the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So if you simplify that down, it's what you believe is. And I think it's also just part of the ET Yoga guidelines, kind of, that we like to share information concerning a spiritual journey and sharing things along a spiritual journey, and also understanding more about, you know, what the universe is that we live in. And another aspect of that is this whole idea of a flashing universe, because according to the Pleiadian information, thoughts actually exist in between the flashing, in and out of existence. And in point of fact, it's like it flashes so quickly that our eyes can't pick it up. It's thousands of times per second, but if we could freeze frame the flashing, we'd realize that our physical bodies aren't even here half the time. So, you know, that's a pretty amazing concept. And it's also related to motion. In Deepak Chopra's phenomenal book, How to Know God, he shares an explanation of the quantum level of the universe. And moreover, this is a definite observation of the universe through the scientific study of the quantum level of reality. And he states, at the quantum level, the whole cosmos is like a blinking light. There are no stars or galaxies, only vibrating energy fields. And Nassim Haramein explained this probably the best. He said that what we perceive as motion is really due to the fact that reality is flashing in and out of existence at a high frequency, and that creation is actually disappearing and reappearing, oscillating between form and formlessness at the quantum level innumerable times every second, giving the appearance of motion. Therefore, technically things do not move in this universe at all, but appear and disappear in slightly different patterns, giving the appearance of motion. It's not the unified field itself that is blinking, only that which we perceive as solid matter. For example, particles, nuclei, subatomic particles in the material world. In some ways, it might technically be more accurate to call what we are doing every day as micro-teleportation. As we walk in the grocery store or drive in our cars, we're actually teleporting forwards at absurdly tiny increments, yet at an extremely high frequency to give the appearance of motion. Yet this motion is only occurring perceptually on the lowest energetic levels of creation, the material world, or the classical world we exist in, for the majority of the day, and potentially the atomic and molecular level of reality. For this level, just like our level, singular-celled organisms might have the experience of continuity of form, just like we do in our physical bodies. So on the quantum theoretical level of reality, there is no motion, but a flashing in and out of existence of creation. Yet from our level, it appears like fluid motion. Just like the people on our television screens are not actually moving, but it's the little pixels which flash on and off in coordination with one another, so it looks like motion. And this could actually give us insight into why there's no such thing as time. It's actually another analogy I heard that I thought was pretty good was about motion. If you took a film strip, it's all just individual frames. But when you run it through the projector, it looks like motion on a screen. So, you know, even though the actual frames are not moving, it gives the appearance or the illusion of moving. And I think this is some of the analogous connections they're making with respect to time as well, because you can imagine that all versions of the tree outside your window from the present moment to the birth of the tree and all the way into the apparent future to the death of the tree exist encoded within space and time and holographically present within the unified field. Therefore, nothing in reality ever appears, disappears, moves, or even changes. It's merely our perception of reality at this level which gives the appearance of change. In other words, all reality, all time, and all motion is really the result of consciousness in motion. And definitely modern science has been connecting with spirituality over the last 10 years, in my opinion, doing an amazing job of proving some things that a lot of the yogis have known for thousands of years, but only recently are being proven by science. And one of our top or leading quantum physicists has stated that certainly what's called intent affects future probabilities. And to me, this is consistent with the whole idea that thought creates or that belief creates. So I guess how this ties into the whole spiritual journey is kind of leading up to my next topic, which is the ultimate truths of reality. Because, you know, here we are. I think it's important that we learn what is our environment, what is it exactly we're living in. And you can think of it as a simulation if you like. But the main thing, I think, is that we're living in a holographic universe, and in the third dimension, we need to be a frequency match for what we experience. And that's where the whole concept comes in, that it's our thoughts, it's our emotions, our definitions, and our beliefs that create the outer reality that we experience. Because you can't experience anything in 3D reality unless you're a frequency match for those holograms. And it's also why the whole concept of positive spin works. And when I'm talking about positive spin, if you're a new listener to this program, I'm not talking about just positive mental attitude. I'm talking about the whole process of reality creation. So according to, like, Bashar is the first one I heard this concept from, the idea here being is that everything in the universe is basically neutral. There is no event that comes with built-in meanings. So what we do is we place a definition and then an emotional spin on an outer circumstance. And the formula is, if you place a positive definition and a positive emotional spin on an outer circumstance, you get a positive experience. If you place a negative emotion definition and a negative emotional spin on an outer circumstance, you'll eventually have a negative experience. So basically, we have control over what the ultimate end result of any external circumstance. And to me, this is really important stuff. And it also, you know, ties into the whole concept of how belief creates. I mean, we all know this with respect to the placebo effect in medical science, but the thing that people generally don't realize, they don't connect the dot farther to appreciate the fact that the placebo effect is true in any area of your life, not just in the medical field. And if we're living in this world and we're living in a holographic universe, to me, it's only logical to know what are the rules that we're operating under. I mean, if you don't know the rules that we're operating under, how do you know how to create what you want, or how do you know how to avoid the things you don't want? And to me, it's all about knowing about the ultimate truths of reality. Now, these were actually hidden in the mystery schools for about over 2,000 years. They come from the Essenes, and they come from a channeling by Jean Hatch of Mother Mary, who was involved with clearly the Essene community. And there's a few of the ultimate truths of reality that are just, you know, they're mind bogglers. I mean, this information was known 2,000 years ago, but even today, I mean, most people, they don't get it. In fact, there's a dividing line in my experience related to consciousness. Like, if you don't get the concept that it's your thoughts, your beliefs, your definitions, and your emotions that create your outer experience, if you don't get that point, then you're going to be stuck in a 3D world of polarity, period. That's the key point. If you can't get that point, and it's not for, you know, for me to say that, you know, your beliefs are just as valid as anybody else's, but if your beliefs can't comprehend that concept, then I don't see how you're moving up any dimensional levels. Because as the ultimate truths of reality state, the fifth one states, everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. I don't think it could get any clearer than that. And the other thing that it does is the number six on the list is, as a creator, I'm 100% responsible for everything I create. Well, here's the whole point, is that if you don't, one of the reasons that people can't comprehend or won't allow themselves to comprehend the concept that you're creating your own reality is because if you're creating your own reality, you're responsible for it. People don't want to be responsible. Our whole society is set up on passing off responsibility to somebody else. The school system for your kids' education, the doctor for your health, your priest for your spiritual growth. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. I mean, I know people that, you know, that would know better, that they shouldn't be taking their, you know, given the certain amount of pills they are to one of their loved ones, you know, because their legs are swollen up like balloons or whatever, but as long as they're not responsible for what happens, they feel like they're off the hook. I just don't get that kind of thinking. You know, as long as the doctor says, then the doctor's the one who's responsible, not you, even though in your heart you know that what you're doing is not correct. I mean, we've got this real bad hang up here, and it all relates to taking responsibility. And the other thing that's really, I think, wonderful about the whole idea of taking 100% responsibility for everything you experience is that it dumps all that old baggage off the plane. That's it. It's gone, because now you can't blame anybody else for what's happening to you. And the interesting part of that is that blame, complaint, and justification are virtually, those are just signposts for a victimhood mentality. So if you really learn to take 100% responsibility for everything that's going on in your life, then there's nobody to blame, including you. It's not about blame. It's about learning. And these ultimate truths of reality, every so often I present them on ET Yoga because I think it's important to share them. Another one of them is that everything happens for a reason. That was number 7 on the list. There's 21 of them. Number 8 is that there are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Like, nothing can happen by chance, because there has to be a frequency match for an intention and a thought for there to be anything that exists. Number 9, I create 100% of the time, and I have the power to choose whether I apply that 100% toward creating what I want or energizing what I don't want. And this is the one that most people have the biggest problem with, I think, and that is that you got to be able to be on top of your thoughts enough to know what you choose to think, what to think about, so that you're spending more time focusing on what you want instead of complaining about what you don't have or what you don't want. And also, as mentioned previously, all events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although we can choose to define any experience as negative. So if you are experiencing negativity, then you've chosen it. It's simple as that, because all events are neutral. And here's another thing that's really important about getting the whole concept about some of these ultimate truths of reality, is that the only way that you can create disease is to be placing a negative definition on a neutral event. Think about that one for a while. All events are neutral. How can you create disease if you're experiencing everything as neutral? You can't. Only placing negative definitions on neutral experiences creates the problems that we have called disease, because they're all related to emotional dysfunction. And all these diseases exist in our auric fields first, then they appear in our physical bodies. And that's why I highly recommend to people that you do things like you have an Andara crystal, stick one under your pillow at night. You know, it's going to affect what's in your auric field. Do Egyptian healing rods. If you take a look at some of the Kirlian photography of sick people that hold the rods for 10 minutes and they do Kirlian photography before and after, their auric field lights up like a Christmas tree, and it heals their auric field. You know, and I'm certain, like on my next program, I'm going to have Master Ming Tong Gu as a guest, and he teaches Qigong and Qigong healing sounds. And these also, what they do is they help, your energy flows in your system, because chronic disease are basically blockages, and they come from emotional issues. Another one about fear. I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. There you go. How I feel is a reaction to what I believe. I'm the only authority in my life. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. And similarly, instead of taking responsibility for what you're creating, you can falsely blame somebody else. But we are co-creators. So there's, you know, it's a way of going into some of the letting go of the past. And I think another little tidbit of information there, it's not just about letting go of the past, but what you ideally want to do is you want to heal the past and then let it go. Okay, at any given moment, I'm either giving love or asking for love. I am that which I create. And my favorite, probably of them all, is the number 21, which is that there are no limitations, and if I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect of error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe that I do, in which case I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my belief. Bottom line is, anything is possible. And in relation to the medical issues that people have, unless you give up, anything's possible. Kind of words of wisdom from the Pleiadians, as well as the Pleiadians also think it's one of the best things you can do is have a positive image concerning your state of health, because what you believe is. And the critical part about that is you got to believe it. And a couple of thoughts I wanted to pass on before the show's over for this evening. We were talking about that time is kind of an illusion. It also relates to a concept that Bashar used to say. He says, if you had a quarter in one hand and you move that quarter into the other hand, it's not the same quarter anymore. And why is that? It's because location is the property of an object. Just as some food for thought. And sometimes on this program, I also mention some reality creation tips. Here's one from the Pleiadians. It's called the I-I ear. That's I-I-E-A-R. The first I is intention. The second I is imagination. Then you have expectation. Then action. And that equals a result. I ear. And in closing in tonight's program, I'd like to give my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd like to share with you now the Who Am I technique, which basically is where you place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you can state, ask the question, who am I? You can kind of play around with that and get a feel for if you should state it once or 10 times or whatever it takes to see if you can get some feeling for what's best for you. The main idea here is to get your full consciousness, get to the highest place you know how to get to first, and then become that spot in the center of your forehead. And then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part of life.